today as we return back to our seats and we go into our time to hear and respond to a message from God's Word. We're going to be continuing with what we began last week, preparing our hearts for the Lenten journey that we'll be taking this up and coming Lenten season, a journey to the cross. Soon, in the coming weeks, we're going to be discussing how Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem before his crucifixion, how he set his face towards Jerusalem and his focus solely on the purpose for which he came into this world, how he set his face towards Jerusalem and in all actuality set his face for his death. With this being said, all journeys, all trips, and all excursions require an element of preparation, do they not? Some, like my wife, plan for weeks to prepare for a journey. I mean, that suitcase comes out a month before the vacation. Others are kind of like Bilbo Baggins in the J.R.R. Tolkien's book, The Hobbit. They just wake up and they go on an adventure in the morning. Like me, that throws clothes in the bag the night before the trip. But what you don't see is the checklist I make 3 months before of everything I need to pack so that I can just pack that day before, get everything in there. But no matter the amount of preparation, when the preparation, and how the preparation, the point remains, we all prepare when we're going somewhere. We all prepare in various different ways of what lies ahead. That common factor between us all is we prepare. We do well to prepare our hearts for the coming of the cross. That is what the Lenten season is all about, preparing ourselves for what is to come, the reality of the very reason that Jesus was born to be a sacrifice, born to die, but not die in any ordinary way, born to die on the cross. As Paul perfectly captures for us in 1 Timothy 1:15, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Well, how does he do this? How does Jesus come into the world to save sinners? How does he accomplish this? By being the ultimate sacrifice. As John the Baptist would proclaim in John 1:29, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." How is he the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, though? How does Jesus do this? How is Jesus this? As Paul would further say in 1 Corinthians 5:7, "Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened, for Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." He is the Passover lamb who takes away the sins of the world. And in this, he brings atonement for us in our many sins because he was crucified by us, sacrificed for crimes he did not commit to make atonement for our sins, freeing us from the punishment brought about by our sins, death, through the just, righteous wrath of God. Something, once again, I showed an image last week that perfectly captured this for me when I first stumbled across it. And I'd like to show it again today. Every time I look at this picture, this artistic rendition of what Jesus truly did on the cross, the thought always captivates my mind. That shouldn't be him. That should be me. As Paul says it best in Romans 5:8, "But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And that world famous beloved verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." This is why he came. This is why he did what he did. He accomplished this that day long ago on that cross far away. In our preparation for this journey we will be on with Jesus this Lenten season, preparing our hearts for where Jesus goes, what Jesus is going to do, and what he accomplishes for us on our behalf, we're going to be spending some time discussing why still. particularly those questions that all begin with why, as we started last week discussing those questions. We tend to lose that childlike curiosity that always asks why. Why this? Why that? Why, Dad, can I not eat the whole thing of ice cream before I go to bed? When it is essential for matters like this, the purpose and work of Jesus, for us to know exactly why. That it is okay to admit, I do not know. The phrase we tend to shy away as we get older and we consider ourselves so much more wiser. And we tend to not like to admit, to be that humble to say, we don't know. Rather, we remain ignorant and silent. The reason for this? I really don't know. Why? The point is that we began asking these why questions last week about the death of Jesus, which we're going to continue to do this week. Last week we asked, why did they want to kill Jesus so badly? What was it that made them want to kill Jesus? What did Jesus do that was so offensive that they conspired, many, many people conspired from the day of his birth for his death? About how when we truly understand what it is that Jesus came into this world to do, and we see fully face to face what it is he does, it's because he takes our upside down perspective of this world and turns it right side up. He takes what we think is right side up and turns it upside down. He challenges us to actual life change and threatens the systems and understandings that we put in place of him. He challenges our truth, our way in our life for his better truth, way in life. Because our truth, way in life leads only to death. This week, we continue to ask why in preparing for the journey to the cross. However, I have a slight disclaimer here. Today's question is different than the one I planned to be talking about, the one that I was preparing for. Because as I was preparing for this, the Holy Spirit just took me in a wholly different direction. Because today I wanted to ask, why crucifixion? Because that is a question we must ask. Why did Jesus have to die in such a way? I mean, the Bible points us to this mode of Jesus' death. Prophecies are fulfilled through this mode of Jesus' death. God planned for this to be the very method that would be used for Jesus' death as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Have we ever stopped to wonder why? Why in such a godless, sacrilegious, and degrading way did Jesus, the Son of God, have to die? That God would plan for Jesus to die in such a way. Could not Jesus have died in another way to fulfill his purpose as being the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world? You know, like John the Baptist may just get beheaded or something like that. Or like Lazarus die of an illness. Or like many from natural causes. But when you really think about it, those causes are not natural at all. Because God did not intend for death in his creation. Death is simply the aftermath of our sin. However, that exploration will have to wait till next week. Because before we can begin broaching the question of why crucifixion, that particular mode of death above all others, we have to ask a bigger question. Why did Jesus have to die in the first place? I mean, why did he have to die? In fact, if you ask people this question anywhere, you'll get a variety of answers. And you can actually tell where someone is in their relationship and walk with Christ based upon their answer. For those who you can tell that know Jesus, you know, they'll mention something about, well, he was a sacrifice for sin. They'll mention, you know, mercy, forgiveness, grace. They may even mention victory in the cross. The point is, the answers will be kind of inconsistent. And for those who you could tell are unbelievers, you'll hear things like, well, I don't know. Why should I care? A side note, let me tell you, that question right there is a great icebreaker. If you're just sitting in a coffee shop and there's someone near you and you want to start up a conversation, just simply ask them, you know, why do you think Jesus had to die? Now, granted, results may vary, so warning. But the point is, it's a great icebreaker to open up a conversation to share about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. I say all this because of my favorite answer that I've ever heard to this question. The answer that I got from someone a very, very long time ago when I asked them, why do you think Jesus had to die? They were obviously and very open about the fact.
fact they were an atheist. They said Jesus was a human, and all people will eventually die. That is a fact of life. Jesus died because he was a human. Case closed. You know what's funny about his answer? It's the right answer. Jesus was fully human just as much as he was fully God. As John says in his gospel in chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. We cannot forget that God becomes one of us. God becomes fully human. Therefore, he could and would die, as this is the way of living things in this world due to sin. God took on flesh, yet he lived the perfect life without sin. We die because of sin. Creation is decaying and dying because of sin, because we have, since the beginning, rejected God's plan and wisdom for life, for our own perverse plan, informed from our own foolishness of what we believe is to be true life, which led us in the garden then and continues to this day to lead us straight to death. We had a choice in the beginning between two trees, and we chose poorly. We chose from the one God said that if we would eat, we would die, instead of being satisfied with all that God had given us, particularly being satisfied with the fruit of the tree of life that God had provided and said would give us life. Yet we allow ourselves and continue to allow ourselves to this day to be deceived again and again by that serpent, that crafty, wily serpent, the devil's crafty lies, and are tricked into believing God is holding out on us somehow. So we choose to take matters into our own hands and separate ourselves further and further away from the giver of life, thinking we can do it better. However, with Jesus, this was not the case. Jesus lived the perfect life without sin. He is the only one that has ever existed in the flesh that did not deserve the penalty and punishment of sin, which is death. As Paul makes clear, we have all fallen short of the glory of God in Romans 2:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have all fallen short. We have all failed to measure up. And we all have rejected God's plan for our own plan. Yet Jesus is the only one, once again, who's ever existed who has not deserved the punishment of sin, which is death. Because he was without sin, as Paul perfectly captures for us in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He made him to be sin. Have we ever thought about that and what that the implication of what we just read is? He who knew no sin was made to be sin. Jesus, who had no sin, who committed no sin, but walked a life of faithful obedience to God, willfully became sin and the object of God's wrath and punishment for sin on our behalf, for us. We had been, due to our sin, cast out of Eden, cast out of the presence of God, back into the dust with which we were formed in, to return to the dust. As we remember every Ash Wednesday, the beginning of the Lenten season, which is coming up on the 14th. We're going to have a very special time of worship and thought over that passage we turn to every Ash Wednesday from Genesis 3:19. It says, by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. This is our estate outside of Jesus. This is our estate outside of the promise that God has given us through Christ. This is our reality. We are dust, and to dust we return. But not so in Jesus Christ. Because in Jesus Christ, you, each and every one of you, are more than just mere dust. And God doesn't desire for us to remain this way. God doesn't desire for us to stay in that state. Therefore, God joins us in the dust. God joins us in the body of Jesus. God joins us in the muck and mire. He steps right in. If there were TV shows in the heavenly realms, Dirty Jobs would be one of them. And you better believe this would be an episode seeing God roll up his sleeves, step right into the mess that we have made, cleaning it up in a way that we never could because we need his help. Only God, the author of life, could ever do what God did. If we could do it on our own, Jesus would have never had to come. The point is that human history throughout time shows us time and time again that we have, due to our rejection of the life God had given, developed a natural orientation to sin. We gravitate towards sin. No matter how good we try to be, in the end, we all have sinned, and we all will continue to sin, as we read earlier in Romans. And without Christ, we will not only continue in our sin, we'll continue journeying to our death. We will still die in our sin, as Paul says in Romans 7, 22 through 25, perfectly, and captures this for us. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. In other words, thanks be to God for Jesus Christ. He has made a way. Who will deliver me? Who will deliver us? Jesus. He became a human man, a perfect human man, and offers himself up as a perfect, blameless sacrifice to make atonement for all of humanity's sin, giving us a chance to choose life once again by providing and being that perfect paschal lamb. As he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, as 1 Peter 1:14 through 19 shows us perfectly, and what we are to do in response to God's merciful action towards our sin. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile. I got to go back to that. Conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile. Have you ever thought about our worldly existence here as exile? Because this world is not our home. The way this world is not our home. God intended it to be something so much magnificent, more magnificent than what we experience. And it doesn't even compare at all. And we should conduct ourselves with fear, understanding who God is and who we are, and that we are not God. Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. That last verse we just read, verse 19, is a reference to the Levitical law, the sacrificial laws that we see in the book of Leviticus regarding that sacrificial system to make atonement for sins. In fact, it's referenced throughout the whole thing that you were to bring a lamb without spot, without blemish, without any imperfection. It was supposed to be the prize of the flock. The firstborn prize of the flock. And we see right in the very beginning, the opening chapter, verse 3, it says this: if his offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he shall offer a male without blemish. He shall bring it to the entrance of the tent of meeting, that he may be accepted before the Lord. Jesus being this lamb without spot or blemish, the perfect lamb, the perfect sacrifice to make atonement for sin once and for all, taking on a death that he did not deserve, facing the penalty of sin he did not earn, paying the price in our place for our sins so that we may live in him. This is why Jesus had to die. The price of sin had to be paid. When was the last time we allowed ourselves to contemplate this? To thank God for this? To fall on our knees in worship of Him because of this? Here in just a moment, we're going to keep worshiping Him in our time together. To honor, glorify, and praise His name because of this. Because He has come and He has won. We're going to be doing this through the very method He's given us to do this through. But if we just come up to this table today and take of communion just like it's just, oh, it's the first Sunday of the month, this is what we do, then we've missed the point. We've missed the point that we are remembering His broken body and His shed blood. Now, you may be thinking, well, we already know all this, which is why we accepted Christ and His atoning sacrifice. Why does any of this matter to us now? We already know this. You know, and I'm using here of a thought you may be thinking. I must caution us all who would claim to know this truth about the work of Jesus on the cross. Because to know is one thing. To live it is a whole other thing. It is one thing that we would claim to know already why Jesus had to die. Because just knowing why is just a small portion of what it means to receive the forgiveness and life that Jesus laid down in His life for. As Paul would capture for us in 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. And because of this, we are called to be transformed from our worldly sinful existence to become a holy and set apart people. As He is holy and set apart, just as Paul captures for us in Romans 12, 1 through 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Because just as the prophets of old prophesied and David in many psalms proclaimed, God's desire for us in this life is for us to see our sins and repent of them, to turn from them and to change our direction towards Him as it was in the beginning, to leave behind the things creating death in us and to turn once again to acknowledge who we are in our sins. To the one who can make us whole again. Understanding the word repent simply means to change your direction. As we see, is the desire God has for us. Once again, the prophets and the Psalms. I think about Psalm 51, 16 through 17. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Or that famed verse in Micah 6, 7 through 8, which says this, will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams, with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Jesus died so you can repent, so that we can all repent and truly change through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The gift of sanctification that is given to us through the salvation and forgiveness of our many sins through His atoning sacrifice because of the finished work of Jesus the Christ. And this is the good news for us who believe. Jesus doesn't leave us alone. He doesn't leave us in the muck and mire to try to figure it out ourselves, because we can't. We have not been able to, and we never could. No, He has not left us alone. But He sent us that glorious helper. He sent us His Spirit, the very Spirit of God, to guide and help us in this life. So like Him, we too, in a death like His, can be lifted up into a glorious, glorious bodily resurrection like His. The question for us today is whether we know this in the way our lives are right now and how we choose to live our lives shows this. Because those living sacrifices, seeking to do what is holy, right, and pleasing to God, is a clear example. When we live in that manner, that the Spirit of God is with us, upon us, in us, moving in and through us, changing us and shaping us from our life of yesterday's death to a new life born again in today's life. Does the thought ever cross your mind when you find yourself in those dark, sinful times, in the wilderness temptation, that Jesus died to save you from all that? Has that thought captivated your mind and changed your direction in the moment? Changed your direction in this life? This is the good news. If it has, you know you have the Holy Spirit in your life, and He is working in and through you. This is bad news if not. It means you still need to repent. But not just repent so you would receive that get out of hell free card, but repent because you genuinely want to receive the actual life that Jesus Christ came and died to bring to you and to me, changing your ways for His better way, His better truth, His perfect life. We've now discussed why they wanted to kill Him and why He had to die in the first place. We can now begin to discuss why Jesus had to die the way He died. As we know that God's purpose is not only revealed in the fact that Jesus did die, but the very method of His death and how it was truly, utterly vile. The worst possible means of death imaginable, and how reflecting on this helps us as believers to understand the gravity and weight of our sin and how we must change. There's no question about it. Can we just think for a moment the extent that God went, what God did because of our sin. Can we just think about that for a moment and understand no other God is coming? There is no other God to come. No other God will send His Son, because the one true God has, because there is no other God, and the one true God has. There's no question about it. Repentance must take place in this life if we wish to receive life. And how reflecting on these things shows us exactly what we're to do today and every day as we continue in our lives in the muck and mire to be lifted high into the next. Because as Jesus says Himself, as we will explore more next week in Matthew 16:24-25, then Jesus told His disciples, "If anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for My sake will find it." We must continue to dare and endeavor to ask why and bring the reality of Jesus' death fully into focus in our lives, learning from those answers what we are to do in light of those reasons why. Remembering what the Word of God says about your redemption: you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. May we all take time to contemplate this great mystery about Jesus' sacrifice. Why He would do this, and how the answer is His great love for us and His unwillingness to leave us in a broken and fallen state that we put ourselves in. And in this, let us repent of how we have not even began in certain areas of our lives to give it over to Him, to truly glorify Him by living for Him in this present age in a manner He would have us live. Understanding the call is nothing less than dying to who we are, who we were before, so that we could find life, full life, everlasting life in Him. If you want this life today, then let us all repent a bit more and turn more towards Him, knowing this is the reason He died, as Jesus made clear at the table then, that His body was broken, His blood was shed as a sacrifice to make atonement for our sins. This is the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. At this time, I'd like to invite our worship team to lead us in a time of response and reflection and communion as our table servers come forward as well. And whether you're a guest or a regular attender, if you believe in Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior, this table is set for you by Him, so that you can come and remember Him, remember the very reasons He went to the cross, that it was for your sin. And as we go into this time, let us reflect. Let us remember Him.